Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Sherry and Sade podcast. Thank you so much for listening in. And to those of you who are watching on Patreon, hey, hey, it's good to see you. It's been a while. It's been about 4 days. I've been away celebrating my husband's birthday, and I've been kind of tapped out of everything that's going on. So we have a lot to catch up on. Now, again, I just want to say thanks to everyone who listens on the podcast or watches via Patreon. And those of you who are listening through my website, sherryandsade.com, thank you so much for tuning in. YouTube knocked me down, but they clearly didn't knock me out. You guys were the driving force behind that platform. And I really appreciate those of you who stayed connected and continue to listen to my content. It means the world. So I just wanted to say thanks to everybody who's shared the podcast. And I've seen you on Twitter sharing. Thank you so much. We're at 2,500 downloads in a little over a week. And my goal was 10,000. So I'm so excited to be well on our way to making it to 10,000. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So today we have a ton to talk about. Harry and Meghan at the Kinsey Collection art exhibition. We also have to talk about the BBC purchasing suits. And of course, we have to talk about Kate Middleton's diagnosis, the video itself, and the melee that surrounded that whole situation. There is a lot to talk about, and unfortunately, it's not all good. So we're definitely going to get into it. So all that and more. So let's get started. Once again, thank you so much for listening in to the Sherry and Sade podcast or watching along on Patreon. It means the world. Now, to those of you who don't listen to the podcast and may not know where to find it, we're everywhere now. Y'all, we are on Audible, iHeart, we're on Apple Podcasts. You can listen on my website, sherryandsade.com. You can listen on podbean.com. I mean, we're everywhere. The only place we're specifically not going to be, you cannot find my podcast, is Spotify. And obviously, you know why. So we have a lot to get into. The reason I missed 4 days was because I was celebrating my husband's birthday. We went all over South Florida. We had a blast. My car lost its mind in South Beach, and it's in the shop. Like, we had a good time. We were partying everywhere. So we're going to talk about that over on TikTok. Thank y'all for inquiring and asking, what did y'all do? I saw the picture. So we will be talking about that on TikTok. But today we got to get into everything that I've missed. I've seen everything. I saw the Kate Middleton video. I've seen the media, of course, trying to scapegoat Harry and Meghan, but they even targeted Christopher Boozy, Omid Scobie, the usuals, the Royal Reporter over on Twitter. They've been attacking everybody. So we're going to definitely get into that. I have some interesting things that I was able to find on Twitter. And of course, as always, we're going to credit everything that I find. And if you're ever interested in the sources used to put these videos together or these podcasts together, no worries. You can always find them in the description box below under sources, wherever you listen or wherever you watch. So we have a lot to talk about, but the beauty and having our own podcast now and our own platform is the fact that we can start whatever we want to. So, of course, it is always going to be my choice to start with the positive Sussex news. So I'm going to share my screen for those of you who are on Patreon. You'll be able to see and watch along. And don't worry, for those of you who are listening, you will be able to hear my voice and I will describe everything. All right. So this article is in Glotzyang. Now, this is my first time using this as a source, so we'll see how it goes. They cannot write a headline to save their lives, but we just need the meat and potatoes. We don't need it to be fancy. The title of this article is Harry and Meghan's attendance at the Kinsey Collection art exhibition sparks global interest. Now, why didn't they put an exclamation point or something here? They were just straightforward. Beautiful photo. I love this outfit. I saw a lot of y'all trashing Meghan's outfit at this art exhibition. What was wrong with it? I might just be old fashioned, but I thought it was beautiful. And I thought it was very artsy. I thought it was very apt for where they were attending. I thought the fit was great. I love the sleeves and I love that she had room to move. I love the shape of it. I like the whole outfit, but you know, I might be missing something. I'm not like this high fashion girl. So y'all tell me, what was I missing? I didn't see anything wrong with it. I thought they both looked beautiful. Anyway. In a monumental display of support for African-American heritage, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Harry and Meghan, recently made a high-profile appearance at the Kinsey Collection art exhibition. Hosted by the Kinsey Collection, the exhibition showcases a profound journey through African-American art and history, currently making waves in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium and Houston at the Holocaust Museum. Megan, radiant as ever, donned a stunning floral embroidered tiered mini cape by Carolina Herrera, drawing admiration from attendees and media alike. The Kinsey African American Art and History Collection, a collaborative effort spearheaded by Bernard and Shirley Kinsey alongside their son Khalil, has garnered international acclaim for its comprehensive portrayal of African American experiences. Curated meticulously by Khalil Kinsey and esteemed historian Larry Earle, the exhibition meticulously chronicles the triumphs and struggles of African Americans from the 16th century to the present day. More than just a display of art, the Kinsey Collection serves as a beacon of hope, aiming to bridge cultural divides, dispel stereotypes, and empower underserved youth through increased awareness of African American contributions to American history. Their multifaceted approach includes traveling museum exhibitions, educational materials, and specialized programs designed to enhance academic success and foster inclusivity. With their collaboration extending to educational institutions and state departments nationwide, the Kinsey Collection is at the forefront of shaping African American history curricula from K through 12 students across the country. And that's what it's all about. I love that Harry and Megan got behind this. And also, Doria Ragland was there, Megan's mom, Queen Doria, as I like to call her over here. She was in attendance as well. And we've talked about her attendance at the first Kinsey Collection exhibition last year. And I have a whole video on that. If you ever want to check that out, it's on my Patreon now. But yeah, we talked about her attendance last year, and we also went through the Kinsey Collection website and talked about all of the amazing photographs. I even said I would love to hear Misan Harriman, his review of the collection. I would love for, you know, I just really respect his artful eye, but I would love for him to attend the exhibition. I don't know if he did, he may have, but I would love to hear his thoughts on it afterward. I would love to hear what emotion was conveyed from his attendance there. I just find his, the way that he uses art as a form of expression and the way that he can break it down, even to those of us who are not just the most artistic, but it helps us to feel and align in that area. I just think he is so skilled at that. That's why The After was so good. Again, if you haven't seen it on Netflix, please go check it out. But I would love to hear him review not only this exhibition and this exhibit, but many others. I would love to just get his opinion on stuff like that. Netflix, please reach out to me, Misan Harriman, and see if he would be open to maybe doing like an Anthony Bourdain style, like traveling the world to see different art and art exhibitions and sharing the feeling that it gives him and like breaking it down for those of us who may not be completely tapped in, but we can understand him and how he expresses himself. I would love to see him just go to all these exhibitions, go to all these amazing monuments and just give us his thoughts and feelings, et cetera. That would be amazing. And maybe interview and sit down and talk to people or the artists themselves. That would be so cool. Netflix, reach out to Misan Harriman and get that done. That would be a really great program. I would watch it. I would binge it. So anyway, they looked beautiful. I loved Megan's outfit. I loved Harry's outfit. I thought they looked great. Again, like I said, people were kind of saying like, Megan, her clothes are too big. But again, everything is not supposed to be form-fitting. Things are supposed to, some things have a shape on their own. They're not supposed to be shaped to you. Some outfits are meant to have its own shape, and it's how you wear the outfit. I love that she let her piece, the mini cape, be its own piece and its own art form. It's beautiful. In my opinion, it's beautiful. I'm not going to say that your opinion is invaluable. Whoever was, you know, kind of putting down the outfit, I thought it looked great. Everything is not going to be sexy and cozy and all these things. There are ways to convey whatever you're feeling or experiencing. There are different ways to express yourself through fashion. And I love this outfit. And the great thing about the way she wears her clothes is that they're moments. It's a look from top to bottom. It's not just about like, look at my pretty cape. Like she paired it with great pants, great flats. I love the hair and makeup. She looked great. My opinion, she looked great. But for those of you who were saying that you didn't like it, what exactly didn't you like about it? I'm not here to argue. I just wasn't sure because I was like, I'm missing the critique. I don't see the critique. But I'm pretty sure y'all see me get on here in my sweatshirts, my t-shirts, and my random clothes and be like, girl, what you got on? So listen, art is subjective and fashion is art as well. So anyway, it was great to see Harry and Meghan out and about. I did see that they had a video up of the speech. Now, because it wasn't shared on Sussex.com and they didn't share what speech they made, I don't really feel comfortable sharing it. I wasn't there. And, you know, I'm trying to field the waters of that, of when is it okay to share something that's shared through a third party and when is it not? So I've kind of tried to, on a case-by-case basis, be a lot more considerate. And I've seen that they have put out their own speeches and things like that. So on their Sussex.com website. So when they put that out, you know, I'm happy to share it then. I think that's a good way to go about it. All right. So for the next topic, we're going to get into the BBC purchasing suits. Now, again, we're not going to always be petty, but there are moments where the petty is there and we just have to lean into it. Remember how a lot of the Brits and the tabloids over there in the UK were like, she's irrelevant. She wasn't a good actress. The show was a failure, et cetera, et cetera. Even when the show was literally breaking records across several different streaming platforms, it was successful in its heyday, but it's even more successful after the fact. And that's insane. That's just kind of unheard of. It's happened before, but it's just not this common thing for a show to be just as, if not more successful in its encore. And it's just crazy to see. All success to them. It's great. I wish them well. But it was so funny that a lot of the tabloids and a lot of people in the UK who are just hellbent on hating Meghan because same old song and dance, right? But they tried to put out the narrative that, oh, the show wasn't great and Meghan can't act, et cetera, et cetera. Speaking of suits, I have a story. Don't let me forget to tell y'all. But they did all that commentary. Oh, nobody watches it. Nobody watches USA Network. Well, first of all, I've been watching USA Network since The Starter Wife with Deborah Messing. Don't play with me. But yeah, so people try down and here we are. It's coming to a network near you. It's on the BBC. And so clearly it's doing well. It's not even currently being shot or aired. It's not in its heyday. It's literally in its encore run and it's being purchased by new networks. Like this, the likes of this kind of success, we haven't really seen. And it's a very successful show because it's a very good show. It's just a good show. And she is a big part of why people have had renewed interest, but the show is there and it traps people in because it's so good. I watched a couple of episodes for Meghan. I wanted to see her act and I hadn't seen the show before. And I ended up loving the show and watching it. And speaking of the story I had to tell you before we get into this. So I got a call from my dad. Hey, Daddy, I got a call from my dad. And he was saying how he decided to watch Suits because they were looking for something. He and his wife, hey, Stacy, my stepmom, they were watching, trying to find something to watch on Netflix. And so they started streaming Suits and they watched two seasons. And he was like, this lady is a great actress and she's so pretty. Who is she? And he looked it up and was like, it was Meghan. And he called to tell me that. I was like, I told you, she's a good actress. And yes, you are right. She is very pretty. But I thought that was so funny because he was just into it. They were both just into it. They didn't even watch it just for Meghan, but they were, you know, blown away by her acting and how pretty she was. And were like, oh my gosh, that's the Duchess. I was like, yes, it is. So let's get into this story on Deadline where we get into the purchase of Suits by the BBC. The BBC has acquired Suits, the smash legal drama that has the most watched show on Netflix last year. Oh, it was the most watched show on Netflix last year. The corporation has acquired a trio of titles from NBC Universal Global TV distribution for BBC iPlayer, including St. Denis Medical and The Best Man, The Final Chapters. Oh, wow. Okay. Set in a New York City law firm, Suits stars Patrick J. Adams as Mike Ross, who uses his photographic memory to talk his way into a job as an associate working for successful closer Harvey Specter, played by Gabriel Mocht. The show featured Meghan Markle in earlier seasons. It featured Meghan in the first 7 of 9 seasons. They said earlier seasons, like Mama was just in 3 or 4 episodes in season 1. Meghan was one of the stars of the show from seasons 1 through 7. And then she and Patrick J. Adams exited after the 7th season. And it only went on for 2 more seasons after they left. So yeah, they need to stop earlier seasons. She was there the whole time. She was there the whole time. Suits was picked up by Netflix last year and gained a huge following, racking up 57.7 billion minutes of viewing, the highest year-end total for streaming U.S. ratings body Nielsen had ever recorded. Suits used to air in the UK on UK TV network Dave. It is unclear whether the show will continue airing on Netflix in the UK. Deeks, head of BBC program acquisition, said, "This is a really exciting and enjoyable trio of star-studded series. The hotly anticipated comedy, St. Denise Medical, the sassy romantic comedy drama, The Best Man, The Final Chapters, and the smart and stylish legal drama Suits. We couldn't be more delighted to bring them all to BBC viewers." So I'm going to skip down, not to be a jerk. I'm going to skip down until we get back to the Suits talk. Okay, that's the end of the article. That's fine. But they go through shows. Now, I've never seen St. Denise Medical, but I have seen, is it St. Denis? It's only one N. So I think it is supposed to be St. Denis. My bad. But I have watched The Best Man Final Chapters, or at least I've watched like four episodes of it. And I got to be honest, it didn't capture me like the movie did. It was just so much going on. I just really wasn't into it. Sorry. Great cast, great show, great writers. It just didn't capture me. I prefer the first movie. And then, of course, the second movie is, it's okay. It's cool. It was nice to see everybody back together. But the show, I think, could have used a little bit more originality. I don't know. The show just was a miss for me. But anyway, as far as Suits, I love Suits. It's great to see that it's finding a new home. Suits is traveling the globe. Everybody's watching Suits. So that's great. So again, more cha-ching in Mama's pocket. They are never hurting for success. So good for them. I was glad to talk about this and I was glad to see it. But I just thought it was so funny, particularly that the BBC got Suits. So quite interesting for them to be so unsuccessful. They sure are finding new homes to dominate. So it was great to talk about the positives regarding the Sussexes. It was great to see Harry and Meghan at the Kinsey Collection exhibition. It was also great to see that Suits is continuing to dominate. I'm loving watching this run. It's such a great show and it deserves for everybody to see it. And Meghan was a huge part of its success. The whole cast is great. The writing was great. The production was great. All of it was excellent. So I'm excited to see what new goals it continues to smash. Great job, Suits, and everybody involved. And if we get more about the Kinsey Collection visit and we get a speech or like a video of the speech provided by the Sussexes themselves, then I'm happy to show it. So now we got to get into Kate's diagnosis. Now, before we do that, I do want to say, you know, we have been speculating for a while what was going on with Kate. We had the person in the car with her mom. We had the person in the car with William at the Commonwealth Service. Then we had the person walking alongside William at the farm shop, all of which has happened this year. We've had the multiple statements come out of Kensington and the royal family. And then, of course, we have to go back to how all of this initially began with Kate's statement regarding surgery. And then Charles's statement 2 hours after that regarding his own surgery that was due in a week. From the get-go, the way all of this has come about has been quite alarming and quite strange. And although Kate's diagnosis is extremely important and serious and no laughing matter, it doesn't negate the fact that the antics leading up to it were bizarre. And people are rightfully confused. And I don't think the announcement of her having cancer changes the confusion that everyone is left with. I think it actually adds more to it, because if it was cancer, and I've seen people say it's just cancer. There is no such thing as just cancer at all. Cancer is cancer. But with it being a diagnosed cancer, something that most people are familiar with in one way or another, it doesn't change the fact that the way that they've handled it has been insane, especially when you look at how Sarah Ferguson came out with her cancer diagnosis, how Charles came out with his own cancer diagnosis. Why did they handle Kate's in this way? So we're going to take a look at the video. And for those of you who are listening along, I'm going to play it. You'll be able to hear it. And then we're going to get back to some of the discussions that followed, as well as initial reactions.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirits. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support, and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
So I just wanted to say, you know, it's great to see that she's up and moving around and address a couple of things that came along with this video. A lot of what people had to say about this was fair. In my opinion, it was just fair. If it was cancer, then why the altered photo? Not even altered, why create a photo to try to fool the public? That would have been a great time to show her with her children as babies or any of her pregnancy announcements or any of her photos leaving the hospital. They could have done a great composite photo of each time she left the hospital with each of her babies and, you know, said congratulate or happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers there, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't have to create a new photo. It felt very manipulative. And the public had a right to call out the manipulative behavior from Kensington Palace and whoever else was involved in that altered photo, the weird videos from the car, and the body double at the farm shop. Now that I've seen Kate, and we're going to get into seeing Kate in this video. Now that I have seen Kate in this video, I have even more questions about who was that with William at the farm shop. Who was that? That was not the woman in this video. That was not her. The jawline wasn't the same. The ears weren't the same. The nose and mouth, but most importantly, the eyes and the teeth could not be more different. It doesn't look like her at all. The hair isn't even the same color nor the same length. It does not look like her at all. She wasn't even the same body type. Like that was not her. Now, as far as Kate looking different now than when she appeared at Christmas, I will say, like she said, she started chemo. There could be a number of reasons why she looks different, but my guess is that it has something to do with the chemo. So again, I'm just gonna, you know, send well wishes. Cancer is a really big deal. And I'm not just sending well wishes to the children. I'm sending well wishes to everybody. Cancer affects everybody. If whether you're the person who has it or the person who loves someone who has it, it is hard on everybody. And so, you know, my heart goes out to them. And ever the class act, Harry and Meghan sent well wishes. And I thought that was very sweet and very beautiful. I am not trying to be petty. So please don't take it that way. This is a very serious topic. I'm not trying to be petty. But this was a very big deal that Harry and Meghan sent well wishes. And I expected them to do it. And I'm proud of them for doing it, but they absolutely did not have to do it. A number of reasons why I think it was such a nice gesture and a very genuine gesture for Harry and Meghan to send well wishes to Kate is because Harry and Meghan have been through hell and back several times dealing with that family and the fallout from the things that that family did to them. And I have never once heard of Kate or William, for that matter, sending well wishes to Harry and Meghan. When their security got pulled, I don't remember Harry and Meghan, or I don't remember William and Kate saying, you know, Harry and Meghan are always welcome with us. We send you well wishes. God bless. You know, we will send our security to you. Nothing. We heard nothing. They acted like it didn't happen. Several times when Kate has been asked about Harry and Meghan or their children, she's rolled her eyes. She's rushed the conversation, or she hasn't responded at all. When William was asked, you know, are you excited to be an uncle? Well, I'm already an uncle, when Archie was born. So they've been less than polite to Harry and Meghan in times when it would have required the utmost concern, like right now. When Meghan had a miscarriage, I don't remember William nor Kate sending well wishes. And Kate, as a mother, I'm surprised, because I'm sure she understands how devastating a miscarriage can be on both parents, but particularly the mother. And as a mother herself, I cannot imagine why she wouldn't have sent well wishes. I cannot imagine. And so they've had several issues since leaving the royal family. When Meghan was having suicidal thoughts, I don't remember Kate extending well wishes to her. So for Harry and Meghan to forever be the class acts that they are, and forever be so generous and warm and loving, especially when they don't have to be, I just wanted to take a second to acknowledge that. As a matter of fact, that's the only thing I said when all of this first came out, because again, I was celebrating with my husband, and I said, you know, I want to put something up for Patreon members because y'all pay for Patreon. And so I feel an even bigger obligation to always touch base on things in whatever capacity I can, because I really appreciate you supporting my platforms. And so I did put up a blog post, my first one in a while. I put up a blog post with my thoughts on everything. And I just thanked Harry and Meghan for continuing to be an example of what the world needs more of. And I hope it's a lesson to the rest of the royals of how it's done. I do. I hope that, because they certainly didn't have to. Had they not said anything, I wouldn't have thought anything about it. I wouldn't have batted an eye. I would have been like, okay, well, they probably called in private. And apparently they also reached out in private in addition to the public statement. Just again, ever the class acts they are. So I want to get into this article from Reuters that gets into their outreach. And the title is Prince Harry and Wife Meghan. Why y'all don't say the Duke and Duchess of Sussex if you just got to do all that? The Duke and Duchess of Sussex wish Kate health and privacy after cancer diagnosis. Now, that is very considerate and poignant, because Harry and Meghan have never been afforded privacy ever. And to be fair, the royals, as much as they want to put up the front that, you know, we are not entitled to privacy, they cash in on it when it benefits them. They absolutely do. They claim that everything is full disclosure, but it's not. They are not transparent. I would venture to say they are the least transparent people on this planet. But they like to put up the facade that everything is for public consumption because they are public servants, but they are just simply not. I do think this warrants a degree of privacy. I do. But again, they are royal. So what I would consider a degree of privacy looks very different, because they have a public to uphold. And they have a public image to uphold, and they do owe it to their public to be informative. With Kate and the expectations that, you know, people are saying, well, she had cancer, she deserved privacy. It's weird to say that, because it's in stark contrast to Charles right now. We're not talking about, well, way back when Charles had cancer 40 years ago. No. He has cancer right now. And from what it looks like, from how the timeline plays out, they were diagnosed within a week of each other, maybe even in the same week. And how he has chosen to go about it, particularly his statements on, I wanted to inform the public of what was going on, and the way that Kate and co have handled it, it couldn't be more different. But look at the outpouring of love and sympathy that Charles has received versus the speculation and the assumptions that Kate has received. It all comes down to how they've handled it. And even with the conversation about, well, we wanted to take time to figure out how to explain this to our children, I fully get that. But why not at least release a statement in some way in the same light that Charles did? You had 3 months. Charles released his statement same month. Okay, you don't have to do that, but why not at the end of February? Why not mid or early March? Why the fake body doubles and stuff? Had she simply gone away and not come back in that time, I think people would have worried less. It was the antics to hide the disappearance that made people freak out. Like, okay, if y'all going through all this, is that lady even alive? I know that was my line of thinking. When they said she wasn't going to be in the public eye, I pretty much was like, that's weird. That's not the weirdest thing those people have done. And we moved on. Then Thomas Kingston passed away. And then there were allegedly bruises on William's face. And then he stepped away for a private family matter. And again, people are attributing Kate's diagnosis to this private family matter being the reason William didn't show up to his godfather's memorial service. But according to her video of when she got the diagnosis, the statement released about her surgery, and then when he stepped away from that royal duty to attend his godfather's memorial service, those were all at different times. That leads us to believe that him stepping away for a personal family matter happened weeks after she got her diagnosis. And it's important to note that if she, let's say she did share her diagnosis with William on that day, for whatever reason, of all the times that she could have shared that with him on that day, then why did he attend the pub at the end of the week? And then, of course, the Holocaust Memorial in the middle of the week as well, during that same week. It's stuff like that that make people mistrustful of them. I'm sure I'm using the wrong word there. It might be distrustful of them. It's stuff like that. If you're going to tell us anything, make it the truth. And if you don't feel we should know something, just say that. You know, at this time, we're not comfortable disclosing. However, you know, the princess is doing well and she will share the news on a later date or whatever. And even if you don't want to say anything, don't say anything. Just don't lie. Just don't lie. So anyway, let's get back to the Reuters article, and then I'm going to share more of my thoughts. Because of course I am. Y'all know I like to gab. I love this photo, by the way. All right. Prince Harry and Meghan on Friday said they wished health and privacy for Kate, the wife of Harry's elder brother, William, on Friday after she announced she was receiving treatment following the discovery of cancer. Quote, we wish health and healing for Kate and the family and hope they are able to do so privately and in peace. Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, said in a statement. First of all, that's very considerate. That's the end of the article. Reuters, y'all didn't give us anything. But I thought that was very sweet. And I've already named the reasons why, but I love that they made it a point to say privacy and peace. Peace is hard to come by these days, especially when you've been raised in hell. So I love that they wish that for her and the family. And I hope that the kids are okay in this adjustment. I know it's going to be tough for them. I have never experienced that as far as one of my parents. So I'm wishing them whatever support and love that they need to get through it, because I'm sure that is very, very hard. Their kids are really young, so it's sad that they have to deal with that. But there were a number of reactions to this news, and some of them echo my own thoughts, but I wanted to walk through some of them, and then we're going to continue the discussion. Okay, so these are a few tweets that I just wanted to share because I thought they were really interesting considering everything else going on. So we're going to start with Naledi, and that's at Naledi Mashishi. And it says, why did Kensington Palace release the doctored photo and then throw Kate Middleton under the bus for it when they've presumably known this whole time that she's dealing with cancer? Again, thank you, Naledi. Yes, I had the same question. So if y'all... they undoubtedly knew that Kate had cancer. I'm sure they knew before she did. I'm sure the doctors had to disclose to her handlers or to the men in gray before they even told her. I don't know that for sure, but I assume. So why did they let her take the fall for the photo? And now that we know that she's been receiving chemo, I believe now more than ever that it wasn't her. I didn't believe that it was her from the beginning. So let's be clear. I did not think it was her from the beginning. I thought that was a silly, silly excuse. But you expect a woman who's received chemo and should be on the mend and with her family, with her kids and just recovering, to be the one out here editing and making new photos? That's insane. This one is by Esther Scott Workman, and it says, Kate Middleton has cancer, and they made her take the fall for that unnecessary Photoshopped image. The royal family really is as awful as advertised. Yeah, I agree. The next one is actually by one of the people that I follow, Nicole Nichelle, and that's at Alamancer, A-L-A-M-A-N-E-C-E-R. And it says, I cannot believe Prince William let his ailing wife take the blame for the fake Mother's Day photo if he knew she had cancer. What kind of people live in Buckingham Palace? Yes, agreed. The next tweet is by Ray the Writer at Write as Ray. Oh, that is cute. I love that name. And it says, it's true that Princess Kate should be entitled to a certain level of privacy when life happens, but the precedent set by that family is why she hasn't gotten it. Boom, right there. You didn't give it to Diana. You didn't give it to Fergie. You didn't give it to Harry. You didn't give it to Meghan. I'm going to add that one. Why should Kate be different? Great question. Hi, Emmy. Emmy is at Emmy Targaryen and says, what was the reason for doctoring a fake photo if she could have sat for one in the first place? Right. So if she could appear in the video, why not just have her sit in the photo? Well, I didn't get that either. Great question. Hi, Lisa B. Lisa B at Lee B for Life says, why not just say all of this weeks ago? I really don't understand. Right. That's my question. That is my question. If you're going to say it now, why not just say it then? And she would have received output. I can't imagine the good PR that she and Charles would have both received had people known both of them got the same kind of diagnosis. Again, we don't know what either of them is actually suffering from, like what form of cancer either of them is suffering from, to be honest. Next tweet is from D, and that's at D0937-1086. And she says, Meghan Markle had a miscarriage and y'all doubled down and called her a liar. Let the same kind of kindness you've shown to Meghan be shown to Kate Middleton. Listen, she has a point. For people to act like the mistrust regarding this video diagnosis and disclosure is unheard of, is insane, because y'all have called Meghan a liar about absolutely everything she's ever said, and all of it has ever, everything she's ever said has been proven to be true, and people still condemn her. So yeah, I do understand her making that point. April at Reign of April, someone I also follow, says, I'm sorry C and Kate is having these health challenges. I'm appalled that the institution bungled the comms so poorly for months, but maybe Charles didn't want his cancer diagnosis upstaged. Wait, that's a great point. Is that what this was? Were they scrambling because they had to? Oh, that's a great point, Reign of April. Oh my gosh, because again, we've talked about what was revealed in a number of sources, but particularly in Spare and in Harry, Meghan, the docuseries, and in Diana, Her True Story. They talked a little bit about that. Charles does not like to be upstaged. He is wildly competitive and he is very insecure, allegedly. But a lot of people say it though. And when Kate went to visit a tennis court or a match or an open or something, I can't remember, it's been a long time, but they didn't want her holding a tennis racket because they didn't want her to be front page on the news, because Charles and Camilla also had an engagement and they wanted to get the front page of the news. That's insane. But now that I'm realizing they did get the same diagnosis, not the same, they both have cancer, but we don't know the forms of cancer or what stages either of them are in. But it seems like Kate is a bit more mild, but again, I don't know, cancer is still cancer. But it seems like they got the same diagnosis, or they both have the same disease, and they got diagnosis within the same week or maybe even a week and a half. They got around the same time. And I can imagine that the king wanted the moment for himself. I mean, here's the thing. Before either of them knew they had cancer, this is why I believe this. This is why I believe this theory. Before either of them knew they had cancer, all we knew was that they were both receiving surgery. Kate announced her surgery first. And 2 hours later, Charles announced his surgery. But get this, Kate announced her surgery the day after it happened. Charles announced his surgery 2 hours after Kate made her announcement, but his was a week out. And I said then, damn, he is still competing. It's the Chelsea Flowers show all over again. They are still competing. And now that we know he was diagnosed with cancer, and now that we know she was too, which is so interesting. They were the two people named as those who were concerned about Archie's skin tone, and now they've both been diagnosed with cancer. I saw somebody say, and I didn't capture it, I saw somebody say, are they using cancer as good PR? And I don't, listen, we've heard that woman, I forgot her name, Carol something, say that Charles didn't really have cancer. I don't know how true that is. We took a look at that video and we discussed it over on the YouTube member side when I had a YouTube. It's now on my Patreon for everybody to see. We talked about it then. People have been saying Charles doesn't really have cancer. That is not something I can wade into because it doesn't make sense to me why anybody would fake cancer. But as far as how Kensington Palace has bungled the PR surrounding Kate and this whole thing, we do need to factor in the precedent set, and that's Charles does not like to be upstaged. But what could have actually happened, because Charles is not a read the room type of guy. We learned that with Diana, her true story. He is not a read the room type of guy. He does not know what will and will not go over well with the public. He never has been tapped into that degree. He just isn't. We've talked about the many, many, many instances. If you ever wonder how bad it would be if he didn't have handlers, go look up Diana, her true story, and just search fake arm. And that'll tell you everything you need to know. You can check out my recaps. But anyway, it's curious that they would both get their diagnosis and then only his would come out. But if he had allowed, again, I don't know if this theory is true, but it sounds true. But if he had allowed both to come out, they would have gotten so much good PR. That's what they get. And then April also goes on to say, also having William by my side while sitting alone on a park bench is not great. That was the literal first thing I noticed. That was the first thing I noticed. I literally said, well, why isn't William, Charles, and Camilla in the same frame? And her parents, what should have happened, and we'll go into it, but what should have happened and would have been a stronger show of support and unity is if Kate had been right where she was, William had been next to her, and standing behind them would have been Camilla and Charles and then Kate's parents. It would have been a really strong show of support and a unified family. For her to be sitting there alone was quite appalling for what she was saying. And people have their theories. We're going to get into that. But the theories make a lot of sense. Nicole Nichelle said, why on earth would they repeatedly throw a cancer patient under the bus? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Meech at Medium Size Meech, someone else I follow, says Kate Middleton just revealed she has cancer and is undergoing chemo, which makes the palace blaming the photo editing on her even weirder. Hopefully she gets better and hopefully their PR learns from this. They need all new PR, but we talked about it last week. They're only planning to pay their new communications assistant £25,000 a year. That is not a livable wage. If you want good work, you're going to have to pay for it. Sitting on billions talking about, we can give you some crumbs. Nope. Continue looking crazy on the public stage. Connor Rogers at Connor J. Rogers says, the palace lied to you that nothing was wrong and then went and blamed a woman with cancer for their own Photoshop error. And now they want the internet to feel bad. It ran wild with speculation over an error and scandal that the palace themselves caused. No. I agree. He's right. 100% right. The next tweet is from Mrs. G. Mrs. Erica Garza says, the close family while one member has cancer. So leave Harry and Meghan the F alone. Now, it shows Eugenie and Fergie at, I can't remember where they were. Was it Formula One? Anyway, it was where they went with Jeremy Clarkson. And then, of course, Pippa on vacation. We do know Camilla went on vacation. We see Zara and Mike Tyndall at the same, I think it was Formula One. It's been so long. And then we see William with Tom Cruise hanging out with his bald head. So clearly, when people were coming at Harry and Meghan being like, oh, well, they've been seen out and about. They were at the Kinsey Collection exhibition when Kate has cancer, blah, blah, blah. Her own family is out and about hanging out and having a good time. And Harry and Meghan are in the U.S. They are literally half a world away. Leave them people alone. Meg Monroe, royal expert, says the Middletons, whilst knowing Kate was battling cancer, found time to roll out the family wife beating drunk Uncle Gary to go on national TV and continue the 8-year-long abuse of Meghan. Says a lot. I have avoided talking about Kate's Uncle Gary, but he has been on Celebrity Big Brother and doing nothing but talking crap about Harry and Meghan, her uncle. Just insane. So anyway, let me actually close this out. Kate said several times that she had William by her side and family by her side, et cetera. And she said that several times in her statement. What made that more glaringly obvious that it wasn't true is that he wasn't in the video. Now, we're not going to talk about this part today. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. But several people feel that that video was created through AI. And at first I was like, that's a stretch. Then I sat with myself and said, is it? Is it a stretch? It would explain why they wouldn't want anyone sitting next to her in the video. Because if you're going to alter one person, it might affect how the other person appears and may make it obvious. I don't know if that's true, but we are going to get into all of the evidence that points to it and all of the evidence that debunks it. So we're going to actually compare notes tomorrow. But today I really wanted to get into the media melee. So like I said, as soon as the diagnosis came out, the media, UK tabloid media, jumped to condemn everybody who questioned where Kate was. Let's make something very clear. Kate's diagnosis has nothing to do with why people were confused. It has everything to do with the antics. The fake photo that did not need to be made and was poorly made is why people were confused. The body double at the farm shop. If Kate had cancer, why do y'all have a body double? What is this? Who is this person? And then the two videos of her in the car, or the two photos of her in the car, one with William, one with her mom. We don't know if those were Kate. People feel like those were also Photoshopped, and I am one of those people. But none of this has to do with her cancer diagnosis. And even though she has disclosed her diagnosis, the question still remains, who were those people and why were y'all doing all that? What did that serve? If anything, it gave her less peace during a trying time to play with the public in that way. Y'all, the palace created the spectacle, not the onlookers, not those questioning what was going on, but the palace themselves created the melee, and they're trying to shame and gaslight everyone else for being just as confused. So prior to the announcement of, or prior to the video coming out, it was known that there would be a royal announcement, and everyone was trying to weigh in. Like, what do you think it'll be? What do you think it'll be? I just kind of sat on my hands because I don't know. But at that time, Owen Scobie posted him setting his stopwatch on his iPhone, or his timer on his iPhone. And people were like, oh, so it must really be a royal announcement. Again, I want to give context. Prior to the day this video dropped, we had had several days of speculation that a royal announcement was coming, and it never followed through. So until Omid posted that timer, people were just kind of starting to be like, oh, they've been saying this every day that there's going to be an announcement, but there's not. So when Omid posted that, I was one of the people that was like, oh, they're probably going to have the announcement today, whatever it is. That's as much as I read into it. I did not think he was fueling conspiracy theories. I didn't think that he was trying to scare people. I didn't think that he was trying to act like he knew what the announcement was. I thought he did exactly what his intent was, which was, there's something coming. I'm going to set my watch. And it clued me in that something real was coming. If anything, his participation in that, just by doing that tweet, gave the announcement validity, because I was going to ignore whatever came out. I was like, they've been playing this game a couple of days. I don't know what they're going to say. But I didn't take it as anything else. So when the announcement came out, people got under that initial post and started acting like Omid was making conspiracies. This man had to release a statement. Y'all get on, not the people who listen to this podcast, but people get on my nerves attacking and roping people into all kinds of nonsense that they don't belong in. What is wrong with folks? Anyway, let's take a look at this. And for those of you on Patreon, you'll be able to see, again, I'm going to read it out for those of you who are not on Patreon. But Omid actually had to release a statement or tweet a little statement that says, when there was word circulating that an announcement was coming from the palace at 6 p.m., I tweeted an image of the time for followers to keep an eye out. When the world and myself learned how serious the news ended up being, I removed the tweet to stop any speculation taking place underneath it. It's upsetting and disturbing to now see that post being portrayed as some sort of sick countdown by the Mail and other outlets that quickly copied. Not him reading. I know that's right. I try to shrug off lies like these, but this one was too disgusting to ignore. Why are y'all bothering Omen Scopey? He don't bother anybody else. He minds his business. He tells his tales. He does his work. He does great work. And he goes on about his business. He does not bother people. He doesn't lie on people. The only thing Omen does that pisses people off is tell the truth. And that's saying something. He tells the truth. I have never thought Omen was a liar. I have been very angry at the way several spreads have, how several spreads like People Magazine and several mediums have, they tried to tease his book by using old plays from an old playbook with Harry and Meghan. And I was angry about that. And I made that very clear. I didn't like the way People Magazine headlined their exclusive with him to promote his book. I thought it took away from the book itself. I thought it took away from what the book actually was. And I thought it was unfair to not only Omen Scobie, but to Harry and Meghan as well. I didn't like the way it was handled. But that's more so on People Magazine. But I did talk about that then. I did talk about his participation in it. I did talk about that. But I've always said, Omen Scobie don't do nothing but tell the truth. They get mad about that. So he gets on his book, or he gets on Yahoo. At one point, I know he was writing articles and I used to read a number of them through Yahoo. But he gets on his platform. He tells his tales. And when I say tales, I'm from Texas. So when I say tales, I mean like he tells the stories of what's going on over there, not lies. I know in some places tales mean lies. Let me clarify for y'all, be calling me something. He tells the stories of what's going on. He gives his inside deets. He goes on about his business and people get mad at him for it. They look for any reason to attack this man. The fact that he had to release a statement about a tweet is crazy to me. They will look for anything except for where they need to be looking. If y'all can get mad at Omen Scobie about a tweet, why aren't you mad at Kensington Palace for that Photoshop photo? Why not that? And here's the thing. The speculation and the nonsense and the misrepresentation of Omen Scobie took away from his actual very considerate and warm and heartfelt statement that he made about their princess. They love Princess Kate so much that they ignore the very nice things that he did say when the information came out. I'm going to share his original tweet before people tried to turn what he said, or not even what he said, but who they tried to turn his small tweet about the countdown into something negative. Here's what he actually said about that disclosure. He said, Kate, the Princess of Wales, has shared that she is undergoing treatment for cancer. The abdominal surgery she had in January was successful. However, tests carried out after revealed the presence of cancer, and she started a course of chemotherapy. And then he also roped in her. Now, whose comment is that? But he also roped in the official statement with her own cipher at the top. We just talk about William doing the same thing. Again, let me go back, and I'm not going to skip ahead, but he showed her whole statement. He called it brave, and he used her quote. He was very respectful in how he covered this, and they tried to turn something else into something negative. And I hate that they do him like that. They do him like that a lot, actually. I want to point something out. This is my observation, not Omen's. He did not say this. This is coming from me. But we just talked about William using his own cipher and trying to tease an individual version of himself in the public eye by using his own cipher and making his own statement coming from him and him alone. Now we see Kate doing the same thing. And I want to point something out. Kate several times mentioned in the video that William is by her side, but we didn't see William by her side. He wasn't even in the video. Maybe he took the video like he took that photo, but he wasn't in the photo. I mean, he wasn't in the video with her, which is strange and odd. But we also see her release her own statement, not from Kensington Palace, not from the Prince and Princess of Wales, but from her alone. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but that's not a good show of the family support she claims to have. Stuff like this sticks out to me. You were in the video alone. You were in the video alone. You were blamed for the Photoshop fail, even though they knew you had cancer. Even if Kate did do that Photoshop, she wasn't the person to blame for that because she's the one with cancer. And I can't believe they blamed her for that knowing she had cancer. And I don't think she did it. And then, of course, William released his own statement on his own cipher earlier this year. And now we see Kate doing the same thing. I hate to hear that she's had this diagnosis. I still think that they're separated behind closed doors. I do. I don't have any proof to that other than the fact that the way Charles and Diana handled their separation behind closed doors, they still showed up at events together. They did not live together. They did not appear together at a lot of smaller events, but at big formal events, they always did. And people speculated they were separated behind closed doors. A lot of the antics we saw and a lot of the ways they handled that is what we're seeing with William and Kate. I think this video is another example of why people feel that way. In addition to that, somebody pointed out when Diana took that photo in front of the Taj Mahal, she and Charles were still married. They were on that trip together. He just had a meeting at the time that she visited the Taj Mahal, which is a show of love. If you were going to appear in a photo anywhere together, it would have been that one. Yet Diana bravely sat there alone. And now, knowing what we know now, we know what she was going through behind the scenes, and it shows her bravery. I liken that to this in a lot of ways, because this is a moment where Kate should have absolutely been with her husband. I don't think the kids should have been part of it. Like they said, they're still trying to explain it to them in a way that doesn't alarm them. So I get that. But I think her mother and father, as well as Charles and Camilla and William, should have all been in the video. I absolutely do. If they wanted to send the message that she was being supported. Now, in addition to people, the media, attacking Omid Scobie, because of course they do, they also attacked Christopher Boozy. He had rightful questions about what was going on, just like everybody else did, but they were trying to scapegoat anybody they could, if we're just going to be real. They were looking for anybody to attack. And so Christopher Boozy, amongst many other responses that he gave, which I follow him and I'm so glad that I do, but he had a lot of responses that he gave on Twitter. But one of the things that I found so useful was the fact that he did a timeline of the media gaslighting. I said, whoa, he pulled real receipts. So he pointed this out on March 4th, 2024. TMZ posted Kate Middleton spotted in public for the first time since hospitalization. The public, she doesn't look like Kate. Is Kate okay? March 10th, 2024, Associated Press, we have issued a kill notice for the Mother's Day photo. Public, is Kate okay? March 11th, 2024, Daily Mail, Kate Middleton is pictured leaving Windsor Castle in car with William as she heads for private appointment. Public, why is she facing the wall? Is Kate okay? March 18th, The Sun, Princess Kate seen on video for the first time since surgery, looking happy and relaxed on shopping trip with William. The public, the woman in that video doesn't look like Kate. She looks younger and slimmer. What is going on? Is Kate okay? March 22nd, Kate, I have been diagnosed with cancer. Public, this is terrible news, and we hope she has a speedy recovery. Kate is in our prayers. The press, vile and terrible trolls, should be ashamed. Maybe now they will apologize and give Kate some privacy. Conclusion, the press pried into Kate's private life and published questionable photographs to stoke public curiosity. And now they are attempting to distance themselves from any accountability. No one was asking about Kate's whereabouts until the press started writing these pieces. He is 100% correct in that. He is absolutely correct. No one was prying into Kate's life or business until they started posting those very questionable photos and videos. And still, they have not explained what that was about. And I also follow Prince Willie at Wills Windsor. And he says, everything the royal family did while Kate was being treated for cancer, a thread. Now, this thread is long. It is linked in the description box below under sources. And I'm going to show a few things from this, but it is a long thread. And the point of it was because people were attempting to condemn Harry and Meghan for living their lives. Literally, they didn't do anything wrong. They actually sent Kate well wishes. They attempted to condemn Harry and Meghan for living their lives. They said that them living their lives was insensitive, and they tried to point at any little thing they could to make it necessary to scapegoat them. as always. This is something they do a lot. But Prince Willie at Wills Windsor actually posted this thread February 8th, Tom Cruise with Prince William. We talked about that. February 19th, made some women uncomfortable at the BAFTAs. And that's when he attended the BAFTAs and those cringy photos came out. February 21st, Pippa Middleton continues her swimwear. She goes on vacation. February 27th, Edward and Sophie's very fun ski trip in Switzerland, excuse me. March 2nd, drinking with celebrities in Wales. March 3rd, Camilla announces her week-long vacation abroad. So basically, the royal family, who are supposed to be closest to Kate, and again, who's a member of this big show of support she claims to have from her family, are all going on about their lives. They couldn't be more concerned. And they might be concerned, but they don't seem to be less concerned. Harry and Meghan have been the ones that seem the most concerned, and they're all the way over here in the U.S. So again, thanks Prince Willie at Wills Windsor on Twitter for putting that thread together to show that the royal family isn't even around her at this time. And they haven't been. She received this diagnosis in January and they've been living their lives like nothing's wrong. No one else finds that to be alarming. No one. Not only that, but it actually got pretty bad with the scapegoating of Harry and Meghan. People have had a lot to say, and I appreciate Edwin Hayward for pointing everything out as well. And we're going to go through some of that. Edwin Hayward is at Edwin Hayward on Twitter. And he says, the news about Kate was released 16 hours ago. Let's take a stroll through all the ways the Express have trolled Meghan and Harry since the announcement was made. And he had a long tweet. He let us know that this would be a long tweet. But look at all of this. It is article after article after article, all from Express attempting to put Harry and Meghan in the melee, trying to center it on them. And again, trying to scapegoat them. This is linked in the description box below for anyone who wants to take a look at it. And as for the last reaction on Twitter, that's going to come from the Royal Reporter, who had such a firm and honest statement about how Kate Middleton's fans were conducting themselves after the announcement came out. She says, dear Kate Middleton fans, I will give you a couple of suggestions. Since Kate has cancer, I would suggest you all invest your time and energy fundraising for cancer charities instead of obsessing and attacking other people. Can you imagine how elated Kate Middleton would be if her condition motivated her fans towards finally doing some good in the world? Think it over. Take a few days, as it's just a thought. It doesn't need to be perfect. Signed, Royal Reporter. And then she comes back and says, P.S. I want to send a big thank you to all of Kate Middleton's fans who have responded. Your overwhelming kindness is truly a reflection of yourself. Clearly, you are all motivated to start a fundraising on her behalf. If you need any help, please let me know. I thought that was a really good statement, and it focused on the progress that could be made and the good that could be done, because a lot of her fans were absolutely vile. Absolutely. Here go Twitter again, making me unfollow people. I follow the Royal Reporter and here we are. I'm not following her on this. They get on my nerves every day. Some of the people that I follow, I have to go refollow them. So if you see me keep coming back and leaving, I don't know what Twitter is doing with my account, but that's why. But anyway, they were being very vile, and we haven't seen, no offense to them, but we haven't seen Kate Middleton or Prince William's fans be very active in doing some good. We can point to hundreds of instances of the Sussex Squad doing good, putting good into the world, and fundraising and sharing and signing and creating petitions and advocacy work. The Sussex Squad gets busy. We work. And I don't see that same kind of energy from Kate Middleton's fans. No offense to them. No offense to them. It's just, you don't see that very often. Now, like I said, this episode is already pretty long, so I'm going to come back tomorrow to talk about the AI allegations on the video. Y'all, it is a lot. There's a lot of evidence to point to that video not being fully authentic. And I'm trying to be respectful in how I talk about it because, again, based on what's being shared in the video, I'm trying to be very sensitive to that, but it is alarming. And based on what they've been doing in the past, I wouldn't put it past them to use AI, even if it's just to make an announcement because she wasn't up to it. Whatever's going on, it doesn't appear that the video is 100% authentic. And some people negate that. Some people say it is authentic. If they use anything to enhance the video, it could be because of her appearance. Again, chemo can really change your appearance. That could be true as well. There's a world of things that it could be, answers that we could find. So I'm going to share both sides of that argument tomorrow, and we're going to really dissect that as well as some other topics that we just didn't have time to get to today. But I wanted to end on a very high note. Y'all know Megan as an investor and an active participant in the marketing of Clever Blends. It's a warm beverage, all natural warm beverage drink, and it's sourced sustainably. Well, they are currently having a giveaway right now. So I'm going to actually share my screen so y'all can see it. For those of you on Patreon, there we go. Let me put me back up here. There we go. There we go. So it's the female founded giveaway, and you can win over $800 in prizes. This Women's History Month, we're teaming up with some of our favorite female founders whose brands are now available at Target. Thanks to these boss babes, more folks are able to access products that are better for their health and the planet. Help us celebrate their huge success by entering our special giveaway, and you can enter to win. You can win a $450 Target gift card, a bestsellers kit from Clever, a period travel ready bundle from Salt, and a year of cookie dough, a case of breakfast biscuits from Sweet Lauren's. And you can enter now. And I want to show a little video talking about this.
Teen employees, I'm Launch Nationwide in retail. How hot can it be? Boys do it.
Of course I got Sweet Lauren's cookie dough into 25,000 supermarkets. How hard can it be? Boys do it.
Of course I grew my company to 8 figures and sell in over 5,000 stores nationwide. I mean, how hard can it be? Boys do it. And I did it while raising 6 kids. Woo!
I started a business from my kitchen, grew it to 15 employees, and launched nationwide in retail. How hot can it be? Boys do it.
Of course I got Sweet Lauren's cookie dough into 25,000 supermarkets. How hard can it be? Boys do it.
Of course I grew my company to 8 figures and sell in over 5,000 stores nationwide. I mean, how hard can it be? Boys do it. And I did it while raising 6 kids. Woo!
I thought that little video was so cute, and I learned about the other two brands. I didn't know anything about them before, so I wanted to share that here. So feel free to go check out the giveaway. You can go to cleverblends.com or head over to their Instagram to enter the giveaway. Thought it was really cool. So again, we have 2 more episodes this week, both of which will be coming out Tuesday and then on Wednesday, of course. And we'll also have the Patreon video alongside it. But I just want to say one more time, thank you so much for listening to the Sherry and Sade podcast. It has been such a breath of fresh air. And thank you so much to Podbean for really giving me the VIP treatment and really taking care of so many odds and ends for me and making sure that I felt like home here. This has been amazing. And I'm really happy to be on Podbean and have my own podcast. So wherever you listen, let me know where y'all listen. Wherever you listen, thank you so much for supporting the channel. I really appreciate it. Pretty soon you guys on Patreon will see this change at the bottom where I show all my podcast stuff. That will change soon. So I am excited to add Audible as well as Apple Podcasts to the little list down here. So that is all I have for y'all today. Thank y'all so much for all of the support, for listening in, for giving me your commentary, but most of all, for just being genuine and nice and connecting with me. It has been amazing. Y'all will hear from me again tomorrow as we go through the allegations that video was AI, as well as several other Sussex-related stories and then royal family-related stories. Thank you again for listening to the Sherry and Sade podcast. Don't forget to share so more people can find us, and I will see you next time. Bye. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Sherry and Sade podcast.